For years, I've listened to this gospel story and put myself in that room and in that company. Now remember, these are the people who did nothing, said nothing, as Jesus was hauled off and mocked, abused, tortured, and killed. They knew he was innocent. They did nothing. In fact, their leader even denied knowing Jesus. I think putting yourself in that room requires some real self-knowledge. I've tried, and I've come to feel that the doors were not necessarily locked for fear of the Jews, which is John's code language for the opponents of Jesus. Besides, those doors were not the only thing barricaded. If I'd been through what they had been through, my heart would have been barricaded as well, because my heart was broken with disappointment and shame over what I had done and what I had failed to do. Hope was locked out as well, because hope was broken. And we've all been there, disappointed and protecting ourselves from more disappointment by expecting the worst rather than allowing any more disappointment and pain. But the fact is, they'd already heard that the tomb was empty. Allowing hope over what that could mean was out of the question. Yet possibly, just possibly, he was risen. Maybe he was alive. There had been reports to that effect, but it's never happened before. And we know how we are about things that have never happened before. So in shame, possibly more than in fear, they locked the doors. When you've betrayed a friend, failed to come to their aid, or even denied knowing them, the last person you ever want to see is that friend. It's not hard to imagine then why that door was locked, for way more than fear of the Jews. Then suddenly the tomb breaker is in their midst. Well, so much for locks and barricades, because hope will not be stifled. And then peace is the greeting. But this gift of peace that he brings is far more than we can imagine with our English language definition of that word. The greeting and the gift he announces is not the absence of conflict. It's the opposite of chaos. It's the right ordering of all things and all relationships. That's what peace really is. The people in that room were, in a sense, in chaos. And he's come to take them out of chaos, which, you know, is a kind of recreation, if you think back to the way things were at the beginning with Genesis. God created out of chaos. Well, God's going to make something out of this chaos. He's going to make something out of them. And for that matter, I think he's still doing so with us. As John tells the story, Jesus comes with his wounds, because he's a risen Lord who has been wounded. To have come without any wounds would not have much to say to wounded people and the wounded ones in that room, or anywhere else for that matter. It's always struck me that people who have suffered the most are always comforted and attracted to images of Christ that are anguished and bloody. I've also observed that some who have suffered little in life like to surround themselves with images of Christ that are sentimental and hardly human. There's a reason he came with those wounds. The story is told about a man who died and arrived at the gates of heaven. And the guardian at the gate said, "Show me your wounds." To which the man answered, I don't have any. And the guardian then said, did you ever think that anything or anyone was worth fighting for? And with that, there was silence. The one who stood in the midst of that chaos knew that his sisters and brothers were worth fighting for. Our wounds tell us who we are. They're like tattoos on the hands and the arms of the Jewish people. The bumps, the scrapes, the scars of life well lived tell this story. For some, life seems to drain out of them through their hurts, and they become bitter and lifeless. They have no hope and they have no future. They don't really ever live again. But for others, and we must be among them, new life comes from broken places. And this is resurrection. And it is a call to go, to be broken, to suffer a bit for the sake of another. Peace be with you.